you lie awake at night pondering life's big questions? Is there a God? What is the meaning of life? How would one do an hour-long sports show without ever actually talking about sport? If yes, we can help you answer 33% of these pressing questions. All you have to do is check out The Starting Block on tavshow.com, Periscope, Stream Me, or YouTube Wednesday mornings at 3 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can also download the podcast on iTunes just by searching for The Starting Block in the store or at thestartingblock.podbean.com. Or if you're really desperate for answers, why not check us out on Twitter at The Starting Block, no K at the end, don't forget to drop that K. Enlightenment is now only a click away.
Public Radio's loss is tavshow.com's gain. You're listening to The Starting Block.
Hey, welcome to The Starting Block for another week. You've got myself, Greeno, and I'm joined by a man who's a friend of China, my co-captain Damo. How are we, sir?
China. You know, I know a lot of tremendous people in China. I know I have a lot of friends here in the United States, Greeno, as you know. A lot of people from China, they're very happy with what I'm doing with China. You know, a lot of people didn't know that we could do these things with China, but let me tell you, we're working very hard on China, and the Chinese people, tremendous people, very good people. But we have to do what's in the interests of America, and we can't be giving everything to China. China! Thanks for joining us, everyone, ladies and gentlemen, blockheads, millions around the world, etc. Listenership, how you going?
All that stuff. I guess you missed the reference in that one. That was about the...
Isn't Donald Trump the only reference when it comes to China at all times?
No, I was talking about the Houston Rockets GM getting a bit of trouble this week.
Oh, yes!
And followed by South Park's.
And a more proud Houston Rockets fan you won't find.
Than that.
Did you think it... When you heard that, did you think of me?
Yeah, I did. Okay. You're going to love that.
I was like, yes, sir. Yes! Because here's the thing, like, Houston's kind of a funny town, right?
Yeah.
It's in Texas, but it's also a very liberal town, like meaning very Democrat.
Mm.
So it's mainly Democrats in Houston, but even it's still in Texas.
Yeah.
But it's still uplifting to know that even though, you know, Republican, Democrat, you can have these kind of ideological feuds, but even though it's a Democrat town, the guy who runs the Houston Rockets in a Democrat town and a Democrat team can still turn around and say, yeah, well, you know what? Fuck you. Because, you know, what you're doing to Hong Kong is fucking bullshit. Yeah. Right? And then the commish, Greeno, of the NBA has to come out and grovel, basically, to China. And he's like, well, you know,
freedom of speech.
Freedom of expression, but we understand that there's a lot of consequences that go along with that. But I think it would be okay, if it's okay with you guys, if we stood by, our employee with the freedom of expression thing.
The consequences were the $1 billion that are coming back to the NBA way from China.
Yeah.
That's the consequences.
But aren't they only not showing like a couple of preseason games?
I don't know. I didn't really delve into it, but there we go.
And see, it's even better because Houston Rockets, of course, Greeno, was where Yao Ming played.
Well, Yao Ming is the ambassador
exactly.
for the NBA.
Exactly.
And Yao said, Big Smacks, no more.
Really?
Yao's out.
Oh, so because you disrespect China.
Yeah. Yao said, no. Hey, you fucked up, man.
Really?
I don't want anything to do with you.
Well, that's okay. Yao, you never won us a championship anyway.
He's
so
a squat, yeah.
So on your fucking bike, mate. Go back to China.
Enjoy China. Let's get the unpleasantness out of the way.
Right.
That is the...
That wasn't unpleasant enough.
The Block cursed grand finals this year. We thought we were pumped this year. Now, the blockheads would have noticed a strange tinge in the show over the last, a month, 2 months.
Talking about sport.
We talked about sport again. out of our respective teams getting so close.
So close. Well, you got close.
Well,
the Giants didn't really get close.
We both made the grand final, so that was the first step.
The closest that the Giants got to tasting grand final glory, Greeno, was actually walking out into the stadium.
Yeah.
And after that, it was pretty much
over. It was
over.
Downhill from there. But let's talk about it. I want to get it out of the way now.
Mm-hmm.
The 6-again call did not cost the Raiders the grand final.
Really?
It's as simple as that.
Now, here's the thing. I didn't watch the game.
Yeah.
But I was watching the commentary of the game. It was amazing the amount of blue check marks on Twitter who were coming out saying the Raiders were robbed. And I thought, well, obviously Greeno is going to be pretty cut up. So I got in touch with you straight after. I said, hey man, sorry,
I heard the referees really fucked you on that one. And you were straight away, you were instantly like, no, we lost fair and square.
Well, here's the thing, right? Because I was live in the grounds.
Yeah.
I wasn't on social media. I was just watching the game live.
Mm-hmm.
There was no commentators, so I just objectively was watching the game.
But I thought,
I didn't even know that happened.
Were you suppressing your emotion? Like, I can't blame the referee because otherwise I'm going to have to live with it over the summer and I'm going to be a bitter and twisted man.
In no way, shape, or form. It wasn't until 2.5 hours later that I jumped on Twitter and I saw all this controversy. I'm like, what the fuck did I miss?
Yeah.
Admittedly, I was pretty drunk, so I was like, I probably missed a fair bit of it.
Yep.
But at the same time, yeah, I didn't know that happened, but that's not the reason we lost.
I have a theory. Was the controversy and the hashtag and the social media conversation, Greeno, in fact started by a Mark Levy burner account?
It may have been. I think what
to
it was.
Get people talking about rugby league for one more night.
It was about the media, because what a couple of people pointed out is after the game, there was no outrage from the Canberra fans, right?
Yep.
The pub was chockers afterwards.
Yeah.
No one was angry. No one was yelling abuse. Everyone was just having a couple of beers. Going, ah, fuck, so close.
Yeah.
Good game.
It wasn't shattering for you. Like, I saw the Canberra fans out in Sydney that night. I was working.
Yeah.
And they all seemed to be pretty happy. Like, they were still waving their flags and stuff. It wasn't dejection, you know?
It was a gut cut. Absolute gut punch.
Really? To lose right at the end of the game.
To lose, yeah. To be that close.
Yep.
To have the chance to kind of, you know, first time in 25 years to hold up that premiership trophy, but it just wasn't to be. We missed out our chances. We had Cooper Cronk off the field, roosted down to 12 men for 10 minutes, didn't take advantage during that period.
Mm.
Bit of like the controversy about the six again is one aspect.
I can't believe you've got a sin bin in every finals game.
Yeah, it's insane. But at the same time, I think the bigger impact on the game was the trainer that in the third minute, who the ball bounced off, hit him when the Raiders were running it down to score underneath the post, and the Roosters ended up getting the ball because they hit their own trainer.
Yeah,
that had more of an impact than the six again, anyway. And it all came from the media types because they were trying to like, what the fuck are we going to write about now? Fuck it, we'll say it's the worst decision in grand final history. And ultimately, what happened? They made the right call.
Yeah.
So it didn't. It would have been more of an outrage because the media were doubling down, right?
Yeah.
Because if you didn't wave six again, or if you waved six again and then the Raiders scored and won, then the outrage is, well, hang on, the Rooster didn't touch the ball. And the fucking pocket referee yelled out, no, he didn't touch it, but he still waved six again.
It was a bit of the rugby league media saying it's going to be difficult to generate controversy out of this. And Buzz Rothfield was like, hold my beer.
Yeah, we got this covered. It was a fucking cracking game of football in the end. And I can't bring myself to congratulate the Roosters because, fuck them.
Everybody hates them.
Yeah. Well,
everybody hates them. Even their own fans hate them.
Well, they're nine fans.
They hate themselves.
They're nine fans. And they can't be gracious winners. There's like one Roosters fan at work.
Yeah.
And he had to be a dick when he came in today, waving like, oh, showing six again. I'm like, get the fuck out, man. Like, can't even be a gracious winner.
No.
As one of the nine Roosters fans out there.
Yeah, exactly.
But it was unbelievable. Getting to the stadium, it was a sea of green. And I'm not exaggerating. I walked in.
They've all come out of the woodwork.
And no, but it wasn't woodwork. Because we're talking about people who had jerseys. I saw generation after generation. Video easy.
Nice.
Woodges.
Oh, wow.
Man, we're talking. I saw 30 years worth of jerseys. That everyone was like, finally, we're fucking here. We've been waiting 25 years.
Incredible.
And everyone rocked up. It was like, you would have thought that it was played in Canberra. That's how many green jerseys there were.
Brilliant.
In the stadium. It was one of the most amazing things I've been involved in.
Well,
even
done.
With the loss. There was also some unpleasantness.
There was some unpleasantness. in the stadium.
Towards the tenseness at the end of the game, I forgot that there were other people around me, i.e. children, in the row in front of me.
Yes.
I wasn't paying attention. So when they were down in their own line and I wanted to get in the goal and I yelled out, smash the cunt, I forgot that there was a 5-year-old in front of me. So I had to apologise profusely to the lady and the little girl. I'm like, sorry about that.
How did the lady take it?
They were like, it's okay. She was less pleased when they almost scored a try. I jumped up holding my beer and accidentally spilled a bit of my beer on her.
Wow, you were one of those fans, Greeno.
And then once again, I apologised again. I was like, oh, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to do that. And I almost gave her a pineapple just to go, sorry, like take 50. Just my apologies.
What, you're paying off fans
for your
loutish anti-social behaviour, Greeno?
Aside from that, I was well behaved.
You know what? I kind of have a problem with that. What I'd like to see at grounds is like a kid section.
Well, there is a kid section.
Yeah, but you should be banned from every other section. Well, no, going to the football, you should be allowed to jump up and, yeah, smash the cunt, you know? Like, that's part of that.
It was a little bit untoward of me, but it's not my usual go, but it was that close. It was 8-all. Yeah. We're 10 minutes. We had him in their corner. I wanted to get the ball back. I got a bit overexcited.
Yeah. I'm similar at the football. Like, I'm not similar. I'm the kind of guy that's pretty reserved for most of it.
Yeah.
I will jump up and give a little, yes, come on, from time to time when something good happens. But I'm the kind of guy where the events on the field will simmer to the point of absolute eruption.
Oh, yeah.
And it will be like in those pressure cooker moments with like a minute or two to go. Yeah. That's when like everyone will be like, oh, Boogie's such a nice guy at the football. Yeah, he's very calm, very reserved. When there's a couple of minutes to go, I'm basically hanging over the rail going, fucking murder him.
There's only been like three times I've kind of got that pumped up at a footy game. Yeah. And two of them were a grand final. I got really pumped up when I took the big fella to the 09 grand final.
Yes.
And I was cheering on Fui Fui Moi Moi and I'd been drinking all day. So I was a little bit loudish then. The second time was, that game on Sunday. Mm. And the other time was I went down and watched a Dragons Raiders game. And
at the Bruce?
No, at Wollongong.
Oh,
and,
wow.
But I was sitting up on the hill and I was the only Raiders guy there copping abuse all day. Yeah. And we won with a minute to go.
Yes.
And I turned around. I was in the very front. I turned to the whole, the whole hill.
Yeah.
Who'd been abusing me the entire game.
Big fingers.
And just, fuck you! It's the only time I've been that loudish.
Absolutely. You got to make those moments count.
Got to make it there. So we thought that was so aside from the six again, that was the biggest cock up. No. They even managed to drag some controversy out of the Clive Churchill medal winner.
Absolutely.
So apparently what had happened is someone had gone over to Jared Waerea-Hargreaves and gone, yeah, man, how you doing, bud? You just be near the stage. Because
just a little heads up, Jared.
Just a heads up, man. Get ready. Have your little speech prepared.
Yep.
You know, thank the boys. You know fucking what to say, Jared. You're fine.
You've got it.
And then it got a couple of minutes just before the presentation, and then someone had to go tap Todd Greenberg. Have we got the Todd Greenberg video?
Yes, we do.
Tap Todd Greenberg on the chin and go, hey, mate, we forgot to get the final vote. Lockie sent his in late.
Lockie, what are you doing?
It turns out it's Jack Whiten. Here's the reaction of the CEO and the people that are about to present the award. Have a look at this.
And for those who aren't aware, the Clive Churchill medal goes to the best player in the grand final.
Yeah.
And can I give myself a nice Gary, please?
Yeah. Let me find nice Gary. There we go.
Nice Gary!
I said, I think a better bet would be total points scored in the grand final.
And we said fuck all.
I said fuck all.
Mm.
It ended up being 14-8. Yeah. I think that I said 10-6.
You were pretty close.
So I was pretty fucking close.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't have got the money because I would have gone less than 20 points total.
Yeah.
So that last try would have been like, come on.
Double down on disappointment.
Yeah, but pretty fucking close.
Yeah.
All right, let's see what happened. It's Jack White.
20 years. Also on stage today in the official party.
Have a look at Rico's face.
Todd Greenberg.
Rico's gone, what? What do you mean? Yeah, and then Todd's a smug little prick he is. What the fuck do you mean we didn't give it to a rooster? Oh, yeah, trick this shit out.
Along with you once more, Joyce.
And then Brad Clyde.
The two legends of tonight's grand finalists.
Have you Jack White?
From the Sydney Roosters.
Kid, right?
Luke Rickardson.
Oh, what the fuck?
From the Canberra Raiders, Brad Clyde.
Brad can't believe it.
Look at that. Is that Bill Harrigan there?
Nah, that's Wayne Pearce.
Wayne Pearce, of course.
Yeah, the beauty of that is Brad Clyde himself is a Clive Churchill medal winner in a losing side in 1991.
Really?
And it was done with controversy because that was when Royce Simmons scored two tries to win it for Penrith.
Oh, yes,
they
of course.
They gave it to Brad Clyde, best on ground.
Okay. So do you want to see Jared Waerea-Hargreaves?
Yeah, let's have a look.
So he was announced the winner.
Well, they told him he was going to win.
Yeah.
Jared Waerea-Hargreaves.
Let me just zoom that up first. So he's on his way to the podium to accept the best on ground.
Haven't even announced it yet.
Like, how good is the organisation of the fucking rugby league here?
They're doing well.
Like, this is bad. Do you remember that time, what was the show, Greeno, where they announced, was it the Next Top Model?
Next Top Model, where they announced the wrong winner. At least they just told him too early.
Yeah. Come on, Jared, let's have a look at
Have a look at what's going on here with Jared.
Look at this.
Video's not working. Even the video's not working properly. That's the... the ridiculous of the NRL. We can't even get the videos working. Anyway, who cares? Now, the beauty of it is, BE pointed out, because BE was kind enough to send us some of these vids,
mm-hmm.
was that there's a voting app that the judges vote for.
Sorry, it's just fucking, it's going off its tits now.
Yeah, just get rid of that one. So there's a voting app that the judges had to vote on, and the reason for the delay is, the third vote hadn't come through to the app.
Right.
There's three judges. What do they need an app for?
Well,
couldn't you just go up and go, hey, Laurie, Mal, and Lockie, what do you reckon? Jack Whiten? Jack Whiten? Yeah, Jack Whiten. All right, we're done.
Okay, I've got that video now. Right. Let's play it.
It wasn't the only mess which needed cleaning up. Jared Warrior Hargrave stepped forward to accept the Clive Churchill medal after being told he was man of the match. At the last minute, Todd Greenberg alerted MC James Bracey the real winner was wearing green, and a major embarrassment was narrowly averted.
From the Canberra Raiders, Jack Whiten.
That was the only cheering I did in the final 5 minutes of the game.
To the Roosters fans.
Yeah, I wouldn't have even stayed for the presentation.
Oh, I'd stick around.
Yeah.
I'd stick around.
So, you were asking, if there's only three people voting, how come we need an app to calculate the votes? And as I said to you in our DM group, Greeno, you, myself and BE from the UK, it's because they're rugby league players.
Yeah.
It's like, hang on, mate, how do you expect me to tally up votes from three people? I've only got two fucking hands, you idiot.
Footy, Aussie blokey footy.
Blokey footy, votey footy.
Ah, that wasn't the only awards cock-up of the week in the NRL demo.
Clive Churchill announcement footy, Gerard Waring, Hargraves, White and footy blokey, matey.
The NRL on Dally M Awards night were tweeting out the results before it was being broadcast. Well done, NRL. Fucking NRL.
Preemptive.
We're talking about Roosters fans a little bit. I came across this earlier in the week because obviously a bit of criticism. Like I said, probably it was like 70-30 Raiders for Roosters on the ground.
Yep.
Which is great to see the Raiders fans show up, 4.5 hours from their home base.
Yeah.
Instead of the Roosters moving, 6 minutes.
6 minutes.
6 minutes from Bondi over to the stadium. But Nick Politis came out. He feels like he needed to defend the fans, right?
Yeah.
He goes, fuck it. No. I got a few comments about this.
He's a man of the people.
I'm going to stick up for the crew.
Yeah.
For the Cox. Sydney Roosters chairman Nick Politis has hit out at suggestions his team is friendless, suggesting the reason they have such low audiences at home games is because their supporters are on European holidays during the NRL season.
Oh.
That's one factor to keep the NRL attendances down. You're not helping, Nick.
Yeah, way to adhere yourself to the common folk by saying, well, a lot of Roosters fans would much rather be at the stadium, but unfortunately, they're touring Venice and Paris at this time of year.
It's very tough.
You see, again, for our American brothers and sisters, the Roosters are the eastern suburbs of Sydney team, the eastern suburbs being synonymous with spoilt rich kids and Jewish people. Greg.
Yeah. the other thing I want to give, where is it?
You. Dick.
To the Roosters fans as well. Yeah. Another dick move. In the lead up to the Viking clap during the week before, there was this thing on the Roosters Facebook page going, look, during the Viking clap, we're not going to let the Raiders fans have their moment, which I have no qualms with.
They said
in between the claps, what we're going to yell out. So it'll be clap, we yell East. Clap, East. Yeah. Now, they haven't been called East for over a decade. These apparently the fans.
Yeah.
It hasn't been the Eastern Suburbs Roosters since like 2000.
Yep.
Well done.
Yeah, well done indeed.
You dick.
We introduced a segment last week, Damo, called Would You Go There?
Would You Go There?
We got a footy themed Would You Go There.
Would you crush it? Smash crush or pass? It.
Smash or pass. I was trying to class it up a little bit.
We're keeping it smash or pass.
Smash or pass.
And for those who missed last week's episode, it was in relation to the...
Bridget the Midget,
Powers, who is a porn star who stabbed her lover in the leg during a domestic dispute.
And the question was, would you go there,
would you smash?
Smash or pass. this week we've got a footy-themed smash or pass.
Yeah, there she is.
I'm thinking smash.
In the costume though.
No, the head's got to stay on. Like it's got to be that full outfit.
And the boots.
And the boots have got to stay on. The pantaloons can obviously drop, but
they're probably going to have to.
I'll tell you, there might be some fly undone.
Fly
that didn't work through there. I'm going to in the chat. Let us know.
So if you're listening to the podcast, Greeno has sent in a picture of one of the Raiders mascots, which for some reason is a female.
Yeah.
Which is kind of strange to me.
I rate it.
But so the Raiders are Vikings, essentially, right?
Correct.
It's another term for Viking. Mm. So is she aware of the patriarchal societies in which Vikings used to rape and pillage women, Greeno?
I'll get back to you on
that.
To
see a female Viking is kind of like, it's...
We're progressive now. progressive Vikings.
We're very modern day Vikings.
All right, let's wrap up this footy segment and the sports talk for the rest of this year. Mm-hmm. We're talking the highlight of grand final week.
Yep.
It wasn't the Viking clap. It wasn't the Roosters going back to back. It wasn't
Nick Politis. It wasn't Nick Politis regaling us of tales of his trip to the south of France.
Venice, yeah, none of that. It was the fact that you could tell.
You know, the Roosters fans are the most loyal fans in the rugby league. I know because I constantly get fan mail from the Mediterranean, from the Greek islands when they're on holidays.
Saying, bravo, chaps, bravo.
I have a text message here. A number of Roosters fans are watching the game via their NRL app as they enjoy coffee in the Marlborough, in the Marseille region, in French wine country, Greeno. They never miss a Twitter update. their beloved Roosters.
The highlight of grand final week was the media coverage in the lead up because, you know, when you told me to immerse myself
in
the culture of grand final, and I did, man. I went down to Fan Fest. I absorbed it. I listened to more sports radio this week than I ever had.
Absolutely.
I read way too much sports articles, and then I'm like, look, they've topped themselves here with a grand final week, puppies and the babies.
Yes.
Or as we like to refer to it,
woof, 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 woof.
So let's have a look. This is all they could come up with this week. You've seen them on the field with the wives and the girlfriends of the Dalium Awards, but now meet the furry friends of our top footy players, some of whom rival their owners for their sheer size and strength.
Because this is the important stuff, Greg.
That's what we want to know.
This is what
in the lead
know.
Up to grand final.
Friend and foe alike, join me, Varun Prasad, every week on the Common Discourse Weekly Roundup podcast. You can follow the show on @TCDTweet on Twitter and Periscope. Subscribe to the show on YouTube, StreamMe, iTunes, or your preferred podcast platform. If you like what you hear, or you would like to express your raging discontent, please consider leaving us a review. The Common Discourse, independent political opinion, thought, and analysis for the people, by the people.
Now with less than 3% sport content. It's the starting block on TAVshow.com.
Yes, welcome back to the block, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. Remember, if you want to get in touch with us, the best way to do so would be via the little blue bird. Follow Greeno at the starting block, one word, drop the K at the end. Follow me at Boogie Bumper. Of course, keep up with the show and everything else that we do via our parent company, Greeno, our umbrella organization. Run by James R. TAVshow.com.
I've got to do a quick dick move to Trent Robinson. Yeah. Sorry to wrap up the 40 segment.
Yeah, you were telling me in the break.
After the game, obviously Channel 9 commentary team was sitting there just, you know, performing as much fellatio as allowed at that time slot on Trent Robinson post, going, oh, he's a great Cooper Cronk.
he's one of the greatest of all time.
Back-to-back Trent, you're a supercoach. Jonathan Thurston had the audacity to ask him a quick question about, hey, man, what do you think about the six again?
Was this on the ground or in the press conference?
No, this was on the ground.
Okay.
The post-match panel.
Right.
So he's joined the panel.
Okay.
And 10 minutes of cocksucking first, and then Jono starts to ask a question about six again. And instead of just answering the question, going, yeah, mate, you know, some calls go your way. So he acted like a smug prick. He's like, well, what are we talking about? The whole refereeing, the whole game? Jono's like, nah, man, like the six again call. Oh, yeah. I don't know what we're talking about. Like, there was a few contentious calls. You know,
so we're not allowed to identify the six again one,
Jono's pointing out.
You know the one that everybody else is talking about right now?
The one that, you know, potentially could have decided the game.
He's an idiot because everybody knows in those press conference-like environments what the coach's move is, Greeno. It's a very simple move. Yeah. It's the coach always says something along the lines of, well, I haven't seen a replay of it, so it wouldn't be fair for me to comment.
Yeah.
But generally speaking, I think the referees did a pretty good
job.
Instead,
he acted like a smug fuckwit. Smug fuckwit. And instead of just going, you know, yeah, it's one of those bad calls, but hey, which one of grand final, boys? Yeah. No, acted like something had been shoved up his ass.
Wow, that's that Roosters victim mentality coming in again. Culture club, Greeno.
Mate, give us a smile, Trent. You've just won a premiership, champ.
How about a smile?
Back to back. You've just been handed a squad that's got, you know, 12 origin players and 15 internationals that have won you back to back, but everyone's praising you as the super coach.
Yeah.
Because it's tough, mate.
Yeah, it's tough out there.
It's tough with, you know, $19 million worth of talent.
It's tough out there.
You know, $3 million salary cap.
Well, let's salary cap.
Salary cap. Fucking ridiculous.
Can we also just make quick mention of the fact that Nick Politis has given Cooper Cronk a lifetime membership at the Sydney Roosters after he's only been there for 18 months?
18 months. 2 seasons. I'm bored. Lifetime membership. Cooper.
How long was he at Melbourne? Like 14 years?
14, 15 years.
How many comps did he win at Melbourne? Four?
Legally, one.
Legally, one, but four, generally speaking.
You know the only satisfying thing I'm going to get out of this grand final?
Mm.
If it gets stripped off him in a couple of years' time.
That's something to hope for.
That's something I can hope for. Let's get our regular show on the road. We're halfway through.
Okay.
Stefan's poll for this week,
Stefan's
Damo.
Poll.
Now, official Sunwell poll for the Canberra Raiders GF Super Show.
Mm-hmm.
Given the amazingly interesting AFL stats and stories.
I'm detecting a hint of sarcasm.
Just a tad. I wondered, what does it take to actually win a grand final?
Okay.
With 15% of the vote, it was B114 in the 114-25 scoreline.
That would help.
That would help. They only got 15%. Up the milk, got 15%. More Vegemite, come on, mate, it's got 23%. But the winner of the what do you actually have to do to win a grand final is Punch Kangaroos pre-game, 46%.
That makes sense to me.
Now, I'm assuming a lot of tourist votes in that one. That sounds like a very...
Tourist-friendly.
Tourist-friendly, let's punch some kangaroos and that'll fire me up type vote on that one.
Would you punch a kangaroo?
No, fuck no.
Why not?
That's our national emblem.
They're fucking pests, mate.
Yeah, you don't punch them, though.
Everybody hates
shoot them.
Yeah, just shoot them in the head.
You don't punch them. You're fucking vicious. All right.
What are you, some kind of animal?
What's wrong with you?
You run them over with your truck. You let some crows eat their intestines on the side of the road.
Bar. All right, Damo. It's
like we're trying to live in a society here.
It's my favourite time of week where we get to talk Unity Day updates.
Good, good.
So, as we've already pointed out, we've had to bring Troy Martin on board as our Uni Day coordinator.
Correct.
Because it was just too much pressure for us. We got, you know, other things to do.
We got lots of shit going on.
Actually, it's less of that. I'm very proud of the fact that we've outsourced half of the work for our show. We've got a new source this week of content. Nadine has chipped in with some content this week.
Has she
so,
really?
So my goal of having 100%... show that involves none of our own content is getting closer.
It's just a little one step closer to that
one
dream.
One step closer. That's all we need. Here's Troy's update. Morning, gents. Big week at Unity Day HQ. Okay.
Can we just give Troy a nice Gary for the work that he's putting in?
Nice Gary.
Definitely.
Because we've brought him on as a member of Team Block in 2019.
Mm.
And I've got to say, it's got to be one of the best moves that management has never approved.
Yeah, yeah. Well, here's the thing. You just sign him and ask for forgiveness later. Because when James brings down the hammer, once he sees Troy's work, well, it's too late to get
it's
rid of
late.
Him. Yeah, I go, sorry, mate, we signed the contract.
We can't let him get to somebody else's podcast.
We've already done the hard yards.
That's right.
With Troy.
That's
it. We can't have someone else stealing him.
Now he's a valuable member of the team.
Yeah, exactly. This week, Troy, he's already earning his keep because he's managed to sign a truckload of sponsors.
Mm.
Now, here's the thing. To keep the integrity of Unity Day, though, the sponsorship is solely for the deathmatch.
Right.
Because we can't, we don't want any kind of questioning the impact that the sponsors might want on the overall unity. There might be some, you know, brand kind of influence on how they want to see unity occur.
Mm.
We just want it to evolve organically.
Okay.
Now, deathmatch, different story.
Pinoclean, for example,
might
not be happy with being associated with somebody dying in front of children.
No, that's what they're on board for.
Right.
It's
to clean
just
up the blood afterwards.
It's just the deathmatch that the sponsors are coming on board for.
Gotcha. Okay. So it's like the NRL. The halftime show is brought to you by such and such. The celebrity soapy heartthrob death match is brought to you by these people.
These people, exactly.
Excellent.
So here's the list.
Well, you've got to diversify your...
Got to mix it up.
Your interests.
Here's the list that Troy's managed to sign this week. So we've got BP Australia. They're supplying all the fuel for the event.
Okay.
How
much fuel do we need?
Well, that's what I was going to ask. But I'm assuming Troy's done the budget and logistics.
Okay.
And there will be some fuel needed at some point. I'm thinking that's probably bonfire related.
Ah, yes.
So we're not talking about car move or anything like that. We're talking just, you know, setting fire to the grass later.
Something for people to burn their tickets.
Exactly. General Electric, they're providing the generators.
Okay,
so,
yes.
So they're on
board.
We're
going to need generators, yes.
Now, Boat, Camp and Fishing have kindly donated
Boat
a large...
Boat, Camp and Fishing, it's BCF and fun.
They've donated a large tent that's going to be used by Ingo in the child mining facility.
Ingo's got my baby.
Ingo's got my baby.
Yep.
And finally, you got the TPG Internet. They'll be streaming the event live. And
to who exactly?
to everyone. We're going to spread this unity. And they'll also
won't
be...
that lessen the value of the ticket price if we stream it to everybody?
Yeah, but no, that's here's the thing, right?
How about we do it like old school cricket where people in the city that...
If it sells out,
yes.
The only way that it's going to be simulcast on BBC is if it's sold out.
Okay, good.
That's how it works.
Okay, so buy a ticket so someone else can watch it for free.
Exactly.
That's a great pitch.
And yeah, it'll be simulcast on BBC Radio if the event's sold out.
Excellent.
So... So they tried to get the... He tried to get him to sponsor different events.
Yeah.
But everyone was just like, no.
The deathmatch is where it's at.
It's just all the deathmatch. They only want the naming rights to the deathmatch.
We have a bloodlust.
So, big announcement. Troy was lucky enough to get in touch with Bruce Samazon during the week.
Okay. And Bruce Samazon, for those who weren't here for a couple of weeks ago, Greeno, is the Soapy's heartthrob that we brought in to replace Jason Donovan and Ingo Rademaken, who have had their talents expertly utilized for the day,
well, yeah,
rather than just dying
yeah.
in a ring, courtesy of the Blakey twins.
Blakey twins, that's all right. Now,
okay, we got two options for you, Ingo. You can either mind the children at Unity Day or become a corpse.
Yeah.
It's up to you.
Mm. Well, hang on. That's only if he's not victorious.
That's true.
This is a 50-50 coin toss.
We don't think anybody's going to beat the Blakey twins, do we?
It'd be tough. Now, he was lucky enough to catch up with Bruce.
Yep.
And he felt that he needed to lock down the contract. He didn't want to go through Bruce's people.
Mm.
He went directly to the source.
Good. Because he's got contacts, Troy.
Exactly. So he's been able to come to an agreement with his opponent for the death match.
Yep.
Let's see what Bruce had to say.
So this is a phone conversation between Troy Martin, the Unity Day coordinator, and one Bruce Samazan.
That's correct.
Australian heartthrob.
I'm Bruce Amazan.
Oh, g'day, Bruce. It's Troy Martin calling. I actually work for the Starting Block podcast. It's a pretty big podcast, millions of listeners all around the world tuning in every week, hosted by Damo and Boogie. I don't suppose you've heard of it.
Yes.
Really?
I've met you guys.
You're joking.
No.
I'm trying to think where we might have met you. Hang on. I'm just having a look through your Wikipedia page. There's a picture on here with you and what appears to be a young Dorothy Boyd. And let me guess, she wanted you to be baby daddy to that annoying little shit with the oversized cranium?
Yeah, it was very awkward at the time.
Did you know he's now 32 years old, still living in her basement and just sits there playing with a slinky all day?
Wouldn't be a bad thing to do.
He's borderline retarded. And if you ask me, it's all those years of chomping on pistachio nutshells that his mum brought home from work that turned his brain to mush.
That's exactly what it was.
Anyway, Bruce, if you've heard of the Starting Block, then you've obviously heard of Unity Day.
Yes.
Well, mate, I'm the coordinator this year, and we are looking to up the ante and do something completely epic. Can I tell you what we've got in mind?
You certainly can.
Tell me what you think of this. A celebrity death match.
Fantastic.
Are you keen?
Yes.
Mate, that is fantastic news. Now, here's the small issue. We're having trouble finding an opponent. Dieter Brummer's back in rehab. We did have the Blakeney twins booked in, but I believe there's some history there. I don't know, something about wild threesomes or something?
Oh, look, it was very daunting at first, but at the same token, it was a lot of fun. I was young and I had a lot of energy, and these things just kept coming at me at 100 mile an hour.
Yeah, we might give that a miss then.
Yes.
We've got Jason Donovan on board, but he's really in no state to fight. He's actually living in the back of a Mr. Whippy van, but we've got him at the event selling VHS copies of Neighbours out the back of the van. Called it Donovan's Dollar Van, which, you know, nice little ring to it. So, mate, I was wondering if you had any ideas.
No.
What about Melissa George?
No.
Paul Mercurio?
No.
I've got it. Bud Tingwell?
No. Vegetable.
That's a bit harsh, mate. That man's a national treasure. Delvine Delaney?
Why?
You know why. What about Rebecca Emma Mogaloganu?
I've met Rebecca, but I've never dated her, no.
Maybe Melissa Tikout. You were dating her for a while and then she just sort of disappeared. What happened?
She has a small accident.
What sort of accident?
Falls into the ocean, the Sydney Harbour.
Right. Are we talking cement shoes?
Yes.
Mate, probably better you don't say anything else about that without your lawyer present.
Yes.
Wait a second. Bruce, hold the phone. I've got it. There is one man for this job. One man only. The Starting Blocks own Brad Everly. Oh, I'm good. It's BE versus BS for all the marbles, all the bickies. Two men enter, one man leaves. Let's get it happening.
Yes.
All right, mate, this is fantastic. Listen, we'll give you some time to get your affairs in order, but we'll have the Starting Blocks legal team give your people a ring and we will get this happening.
Please get them to give me a call.
Love your work, Bruce. See you, mate.
There you go. Well done. Well done, ladies and gentlemen.
So there you have it. It's the Uni Day Celebrity Death Match. It's BE versus BS, and it's brought to you by BP, GE, BCF, and TPG, and simulcast on BBC.
That was all that was for the payoff.
That was all for that payoff.
Fucking brilliant.
So, big news. Now, a couple of points. A couple of points of order. From the call, firstly, did we check that Bruce was okay to have the call recorded? Because I don't want any legal issues aside from the death match. If there's wiretaps involved, I want no part of it.
I like that we're concerned about the legal issues from the phone call and not the legal issues of having somebody killed in public for the purpose of sport.
Nah, big issues. Now, second point of call, the fact that the show no longer contains me.
You're out of there.
I'm out. It's you twice.
I'm glad that Troy's just been promoted from Unity Day coordinator to co-host. You're out of there,
Greeno's gone. My third point of call is what's it called? Bruce missed a trick there. He had the opportunity to face one Bud Tingwall,
yes,
who's already dead.
That would have been a...
I'd put that as advantage Bruce.
Do you reckon he'd be short odds, Bruce, to win that fight?
Against...
if we wheel in a coffin?
Against Bud, I'd say yes. Against BE, I reckon BE short odds here.
Yeah, well, they're saying in the chat already, BE's $1.05.
Bucko 5.
Bucko 5.
I think if we're talking the Bruce Samazen from E Street days, my money would have been on him.
Yes.
But we're talking Bruce Samazen real estate agent now. Real estate
guy. Weasel.
I don't think
it's amazing that BE might win the fight, but Bruce will still end up making more money out of it.
Yes.
Somehow. He'll go have a commission.
So big thanks to Troy for big updates there. Good to have the sponsors on board.
Here we well go. Done.
Yeah, BP, GE, BCF, and TPG simulcast on BBC. I'm looking forward to reading that every week. Now, back to some other housekeeping duties here, Damo. Our official pollster, Stefan Sears,
yes,
reached out to me a couple of days ago and said, look, you guys are cranking out all these new segments,
yep.
Smash or Pass. The gardening segment we brought back was a big hit.
Yep.
I forget what other segments.
Yeah, everybody loves the gardening segment.
Everyone loves the gardening segment. We had the food segment that was there.
Yep.
Plenty of other things we brought in.
There's a lot of shit on the boil.
Yeah. Now he asked, what happened to the new segment that was the official pollster put out and was the winner? I believe we've got the tune ready to go.
Yes,
intro.
We do.
Hey Man, Nice Box, which was the segment about homeless. Anything homeless related was meant to be called Hey Man, Nice Box. Apparently that's what the people voted for.
That's what they want.
That's what they wanted.
A homeless segment.
Well, we've been bringing the homeless segment out because we had Melbourne homeless and Sydney homeless last week where the dude was jerking off in the intersection. And we've had plenty of other homeless observations.
But now that it's become an official segment, I feel like there's an extra layer of pressure to come up with interesting or observations about the homeless people, Greedo.
Now that we've got theme music.
I think if the homeless people were more interesting, they probably wouldn't be homeless. So it's going to be very difficult, I think, to extract at least, you know, 2 to 3 minutes of content every single week about the homeless. But you've gone above and beyond this week. Like, you've got something for the homeless.
Oh, no, I was just pointing out.
So our homeless segment for this week is announcing that's the song.
That's the song
for the homeless segment.
That's correct.
Well, that was quality.
Good,
I can see why 8 people tune in every week.
Down to 7. I mentioned a little bit earlier, Dave, before we go to a break and we'll come back with BE's Earth Report, is that our goal in this show is to not have to do any work, to have everyone send in something. And Nadine, who's been following the show for a little while now.
Ms. Chilvers.
That's correct. Give her a follow there on Twitter.
Yep.
Bought over as part of the Fergo Freak Pod Love Fest that happened earlier in the year. We got a couple of nice listeners out of that, and vice versa.
Yep.
So nice to have her. She's now sending in content.
Oh wow, excellent!
And I'm down for it.
Yeah, and she did a great job on Fergo and the Freak Pod, by the way.
Great job. So here's what she sent through. A number of staff have reportedly sought counselling after a fellow public servant was caught urinating into an office kettle.
Into a kettle?
A kettle. So someone's obviously observed this and gone, hang on a sec, I don't reckon that's on. Gone through the whistleblower program and said, look, notice, you know, John, dick in the kettle, mid-slash. Now,
but what if John is an experienced bushman? And he understands that in the bush, Greeno, sometimes water sources aren't readily available.
Well, we are in drought here.
If you maybe he knows how to separate urine from water to get pure drinking water out of urine.
Well, isn't it once you boil it, it becomes purified anyway?
All the germs go away. Yeah. I think it'd still be a pot of piss, though. It'd just be hot piss.
Hot piss.
It might be safer to drink.
Yeah, yeah.
But I don't think it's going to come out like fucking distilled Mount Franklin.
What if you put it through a filter first?
Otherwise, we just have a whole bunch of people in a factory pissing into a giant pot that boils.
You make it sound like that doesn't occur. Now, the other thing I was thinking about what this.
Why do I need to buy water when there's water coming out of my dick?
Now, what's going on at this actual office?
You guys are idiots if you're not drinking your own piss, by the way. I'm going to think of all the dollars you waste.
Mount Franklin. Now,
why do we even have taps in our house? I've got a tap right here attached to my pelvis, motherfucker. Mm.
Why have they still got kettles at the office? Yeah. Well, they don't have
Todd Carney's known about this for years.
Hello, everybody. This is Chris McDonald. I want to take this opportunity to invite you to listen to our Mac Files broadcast every Monday through Friday night from 9:30 to 10:30. Right here on Periscope, YouTube, and Facebook Live. We always have a wide variety of guests that talk about faith, make America great again, the nation, President Trump. We deal with a lot of law enforcement issues, a lot of immigration issues, and issues that are very relevant to the time that we live in. Friday nights, 11:30, the one and only James R. joins us for Pirate Radio, one of the liveliest shows late night that you'll ever have. And then Sunday nights, we have Pastor Ronnie Mitchum join us at 8:30 p.m. for our Sunday night faith chat. And be there. We're looking for you. Join us each week.
Welcome to The Starting Block. Follow on Twitter at The Starting Block. Drop the K at the end. Find the podcast on iTunes or on TAVshow.com.
Yeah, back on the block, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. Earth Report time, Damo.
Yeah.
Awkward positioning for the Earth Report because I've got to wait for this fucking music to switch out. Before I can switch
I think notes. You can play them both at the same time.
Nah, because as soon as I hit this, it cuts that off.
Oh, does it?
Yeah, because I've got to go channel, cross pages.
Oh, right, gotcha.
Bit of a kimono pull
it's
there.
Not on the same page.
For the seven listeners that are still left. We're talking a bit in the ad break about the fact that the whole daylight saving time screwed our US listener base.
And I fucking hate it. I hate daylight savings with a passion.
I love daylight savings. Just screwed our listener base.
What the hell's wrong with you? What do you get out of it?
Well, I get to see some sunlight instead of being in the office all day.
No, but see, this is exactly the thing that I brought up on my show. Huh. All of these half-wits that go around and go, well, I really enjoy the extra hour of sunlight in the summer. But it's like, but you don't go outside.
I do. That's my point.
Bullshit you do.
I go out in the afternoons, I do.
You go out in the afternoon. What do you do out in the afternoon? See, you would still have the afternoon. We're not living in fucking Northern Ireland. The sun isn't setting at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, Greeno.
It's setting at 5 when I get home from work. Anyway, moving
on. Evening. That's not afternoon. That's evening.
Well, evening then.
See, they say that, oh, we have to do it for the farmers.
It's got nothing to do with the farmers.
Apparently, that's how it started, because of the farmers.
Yeah.
But I'm like...
Isn't that why Queensland don't do daylight savings? Because the farmers don't want it?
I don't know, but the chickens and the cows will adjust. Like, they're going to get up whenever they get up. They don't need an extra hour of sleep.
Mm.
Like, because I thought we were on top of the food chain. Now we're taking orders from the cows.
From the chicken.
Fuck.
Now that's moved on. Okay. I'm glad we got that out of the way.
Wind!
Do you want to kick it off?
Yeah, I'm going to kick it off. I was trying to work it when we normally start talking. I reckon about there. Sexually confused man sues Apple. A man in Russia has issued a lawsuit against Apple claiming that his phone turned him gay. The man, named only as D, Razum Alov. See, it's worse when it's spelled phonetically, I reckon.
Razumalov.
Was upset when he was given...
Hang on. It's worse when it's spelled phonetically?
Yeah, well, it threw me off.
So you'd rather blindly wander through all of these syllables and hope that they stick together?
No, because if I looked at just the surname, I would have gone Razmilov. Yeah. Is that it?
Razmilov.
Razmilov. Anyway.
Fujitsu Plasma Fusion.
Apparently, he was upset. He was given 69 gay coins of cryptocurrency instead of Bitcoin he had requested. He says the money was accompanied with the message... Don't judge without trying.
That's right.
Firstly, if you're buying cryptocurrency, you're a sucker to begin with, so you might as well keep sucking. He says, I thought indeed, how can I judge something without trying it? And decided to try same-sex relationship. So let me get this right.
Just have
he, got
go.
Sent, he got sent
Give
some
it a crack,
free,
mate.
Free gay coins. Yeah. And he's like, well, while I'm here.
Might as well suck a dick.
He said, he's now. There's too much fellatio sound bites so far.
And they've all come from
all
you.
All come from my side of the table. He says he's now mired in intimacy with a member of his own sex and he can't get out.
Can't get out. He's locked in.
He's trapped.
It's like, welcome to relationships, brother.
He's trapped
and,
in a...
And you gays wanted to get married.
So technically, so he's... He's a male... he's male turned gay. So technically, he's... He's trapped out of a box.
Ah, well done.
Yeah, there we go.
Well done.
Do you have any other gags that you used on your earlier show?
Yeah, well, because that's the thing. I got Greeno to read that story because I did that story already on my show. And it was interesting because he was like, I don't know what to tell my parents. And I'm like, just tell them the truth. Yeah. That you downloaded an app. The app said that you should try gay sex and then you did. And now you're in a boyfriend. You've got a boyfriend. You don't know what to do. Right. Dad, help me. Yeah. Help me. Tell them the truth, mate. Yeah. How bad can it be?
Yeah.
Sexomaniac Greeno ordered to warn others. A man suffering from a rare disorder involving sexual activity during sleep. So wait, he goes to sleep.
Goes to sleep.
And then just starts having sex with people.
Ah, sounds good.
That's a perfect excuse if your wife catches you in bed with a cheap hooker at 2 a.m. Greeno.
Oh
no, babe, I was sleep fucking.
That's
not my fault. Has been ordered by a judge to warn people of the risk he poses. Dale Kelly, 21, was found not guilty by reason of insanity of sexually assaulting a friend's girlfriend after the jury accepted he was sleepwalking. Wow. This guy has to... This guy must have
his lawyer.
He's got the best lawyer on planet Earth.
Nah.
No, we can prove that my client wasn't even conscious at the time of the alleged rape. Mr. Kelly was unaware of what he was doing when he walked up 2 flights of stairs and indecently assaulted the woman who was in bed with her boyfriend.
So it wasn't even his own girlfriend. No, it was some rando.
Some random kid. Kelly told the jury he had a history of unconscious sexual touching of people sleeping next to him, but had never previously done this while sleepwalking. Experts confirmed Kelly suffers from the sleep disorder parasomnia that can involve sleepwalking and an even rarer form of it called sexsomnia. I don't believe that this is a real thing. I'm sorry.
No, I believe I can guarantee this happened. Apparently, he walked into D. Razmilov's home.
And turned him gay.
Yeah. Didn't know he was doing it. Dick in the mouth.
Someone in the chat just said sexsomnia is a real thing.
Apparently it is.
Judge Simon Hickey imposed a 2-year supervision order on Kelly, during which he will attend an alcohol awareness course. Is the sexsomnia more active when you're drunk?
Yeah. Have a couple of mojitos and next thing you know, the sleep hands go wandering.
So he gets down to the cocktail bar. He says, hit me up with a pina colada. And he's like, okay, I think I'm just going to go have
a little lie
down. And his friend's like, no, stay here and keep drinking.
Yeah.
Stay awake, whatever you do. Give that guy some cocaine.
He's less of a sex pest when he's awake.
When he's awake. He was also...
Your Honour.
He was also made the subject...
This is a footy player's fucking dream.
Oh, yeah. We've just found the green light for every single rugby league player.
Jack DeBellin, we have your defence, sir.
Yeah.
Allegedly.
It's not my fault.
I was asleep.
At the time of the alleged incident with the female, I was not even awake, sir.
Yeah.
I was asleep walking and sleep groping and sleep fucking.
Yeah.
It's a real thing.
Yeah.
I saw it on the block, the starting block. They were talking about it. They said I should bring it up. He was also made the subject
of... Can I go now?
Can I go home now?
I'll let you go.
Back to my dog.
And the footy.
And the puppies.
Yeah.
Why do they talk like that? We're big rugby league fans.
Well, here, they do. So there's concussion left, right, and center.
Yeah, concussion. When you mix concussion in with sexomnia.
And the coke.
Look out. Oh, and the cocaine. The,
the sniffy.
Yeah. Is there an insomnia version of beating a taxi driver in Manly? How about an insomnia version of pissing on a blackjack dealer at Crown Casino?
Are we going to go through the greatest hits again?
I didn't really put my mouth into... I didn't really put my penis in the dog's mouth, Your Honour. I was sleep bestiality.
Mate, he was definitely asleep there, whatever that guy's name was.
Brexit no deal equals more sex deal, Greeno. A British cabinet minister confessed that a no deal Brexit situation could lead to bored lorry drivers stuck in traffic jams seeking public sex.
Now, you're a truck driver yourself, Tamo.
I can't believe the depths these people are going to say, oh, we have to stay in the EU. Otherwise, there's going to be a whole bunch of randy, overweight truck drivers masturbating on the freeway.
It's not just masturbating. It's known as dogging.
Dogging.
Yeah, it's.
Would you like to explain dogging, Greener?
Dogging is a British term for having sex in public while others watch.
With strangers.
Yeah, it's common in car parks, woods, and lay-bys.
And the term dogging comes from, like, oh, I'm just going to go walk the dog.
Yeah. Concerns about a spike in that activity were most focused on British lorry drivers. Do Europeans even do dogging, the minister asked. So this is a legit question. There is something deeply British about dogging, apparently.
I love the fact that these are the same people who will say that other people are turning politics into a farce.
Yeah.
Now,
have a conversation about dogging.
If it would please the House of Commons, Mr. Speaker, I think we need to bring up the matter of dogging. Apparently, if Mr. Johnson, the Honourable Member, pushes through with his no-deal Brexit plans, I have it on good authority. The research suggests that there will be a large number of lorry drivers stuck in traffic jams who will no longer have access to cheap French puss. So... I think it's on us as the honourable right members to represent the interests of the doggers, I believe they're called, to ensure that the lorry drivers can indeed get their penises wet on the I-5 as they head into Paris. Otherwise, this will be a grave problem, grave concern for this house.
Thank big thanks to BE for his Earth Report for another week. How many days till BE's in the studio, Damo?
Good question, Greeno. Let me bring that up. There you go.
There you go. 69.
Nice.
We need the Beavis and Butthead sound.
Oh,
button.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
69 days, 22 hours, 58 minutes, and 55 seconds. Good news is that's before Unity Day.
Oh, so excellent.
Just in case things don't go BE's way.
We can still get him in on the show for one last hurrah. Should we give him a last meal like he's on death row?
We should. Now,
Bruce is pretty cut. He's got guns.
Time for some genuine American football. Stefan, he's done double duty this week.
Yep.
Actually, he's got a Granny Sears video.
We do have a Granny Sears.
He's done triple duty this week.
Yep.
Hawaii.
We'll save that other clip for next week.
Yep. Hawaii 54 over Nevada 3.
The Rainbow Warriors kicking ass.
James'
over
team.
There.
Check out these quarter scores. 7-24, 14-9, 54. Smash them. You had our South Carolina Gamecocks 24 over Kentucky 7.
Go, you Cocks!
We had Michigan. Michigan 10-3 over Iowa. Yeah. And the Tree Nuts keep their unbeaten record alive.
The Tree Nuts.
34 over...
Didn't they go deep last year?
MI State 10. Yeah, they're always top 10 team.
Okay.
As far as Stefan tells me.
Okay.
So that's it. I'm not going to worry about the snooker story because we're at an hour. Let's wrap it up and we'll go out with some Granny Sears.
Yeah, follow Greeno at the starting block. One word, drop the K at the end. Follow me at Boogie Bumper. Don't forget to follow our friends at Real Person PLTCS, at ChrisMC44, at YCensored_. Follow Nadine Chilvers for the occasional appearance on the Fergo on the Freak Pod. And follow Troy Martin. Give him a wave, Troy, if you're in the chat, for all your Unity Day updates.
Should we give BE a plug?
Yes, absolutely give BE a plug. BE, yeah. Give him a wave too. Follow BE. Forget BE's Twitter handle.
Brad_Everly, I believe.
Brad_Everly. And just basically follow everybody else.
Yeah, follow eight people in the chat. That's probably a good idea.
Yeah, stay tight, fam.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll let Granny Sears take us out. Bye-bye. Oh, we've got no audio again.
No audio for Granny Sears.
Okay, hang on, let me...
Here's the thing. That might be appropriate for me to talk over Granny Sears this week if there's no audio for Granny Sears.
Do you want
to
do some filler?
Some filler with Granny Sears. Well, here's the thing. We've already done the outages. Yeah. While I do that, let's...
Magicians.
Nice. We haven't had Don Camaro for a while.
Get ready for Don Camaro's Super Mega Sale Bonanza. Total liquidation of all magic and pet supplies. Ducks, box turtles, magic wands, and gorgeous barn assistance. And that's just the beginning. Snakes, magic hats, puppy sweaters, disappearing ink, all at prices too low to mention. Only at Don Camaro's Magic and Pets. That's Don Camaro's Magic and Pets. See you there.
Don Camaro's Magic and Pets. Okay, let's have another go at Granny Sears, shall we?
Let's try our luck.
Nah, it's not going to work.
No audio this week, so...
I was just saying to Greeno before the show, we'll open a kimono, that I was having issues, like a Windows update has basically scrambled all of my audio software, so next week we're going completely analog in the studio, so we'll get that up and rolling.
And a double edition of Granny Sears next week.
Double edition.
That's what they call in the biz demo, a teaser. See you guys next week.
Bye.
We'll always be bosom buddies, friends, sisters, and pals. We'll always be bosom buddies. If life should reject you, there's me to protect you.
If I say that your tongue is vicious,
if I call you uncouth,
it's simply that.
Who else but a bosom buddy will sit down and tell you the truth?
Aloha, James R. here. When I'm not in court defending the boys from the starting block against slander charges...
Alleged!
Yes, yes. Alleged. I'm hosting Trust and Verify with Boogie Bumper every Sunday night at 1 a.m. on TAVshow.com. Join us and all your favorite broadcasters there.
TAVshow.com.
You're listening to The Starting Block on TAVshow.com.